"You're an angel in heavy disguise, Stanley," said Moist, sitting back with care and wincing.
"Yes, thank you, sir," said Stanley solemnly. "Got some messages for you, sir."
"Thank you, Stanley," said Moist. There was a lengthy pause until he remembered that this was Stanley he was talking to, and added, "Please tell me what they are, Stanley."
The golem lady came in and said," Stanley closed his eyes, "Tell the Streak of Lightning he'll have another 8 golems in the morning, and if he's not too busy working miracles, I'll accept his invitation to dine at 8 at Le Foie Heureux, meeting at the Mended Drum at 7.
"The Happy Liver, are you sure? But of course it would be correct. This was Stanley. "Even the damn soup there is $15, said Moist. "And you have to wait 3 weeks for an appointment to be considered for a booking. They weigh your wallet. How does she think I... His eye fell on Mr. Robinson's box, sitting innocently in the corner of the office. He liked Miss Dearheart. Most people were accessible. Sooner or later you could find the springs that worked them. Even Miss McAlariat would have a lever somewhere, although it was a horrible thought. But Adora Bell fought back, and to make sure, fought back even before she was attacked. She was a challenge, and therefore fascinating. She was so cynical, so defensive, so spiky. And he had a feeling she could read him much, much better than he read her. All in all, she was intriguing and looked good in a severely plain dress. Don't forget that bit.
"Okay. Thank you, Stanley," he said. "Anything else?"
The boy put a sheet of slightly damp, greeny-grey stamps on the desk.
"The first dollar stamp, sir," he announced.
"My word, Mr. Spools has done a good job here," said Moist, staring at the hundreds of little green pictures of the university's Tower of Art. "It even looks worth a dollar."
"Yes, sir. You hardly notice the little man jumping from the top,"
said Stanley. Moist snatched the sheet from the boy's hand.
"What? Where?" "You need a magnifying glass, sir, and it's only on a few of them. In some of them he's in the water. Mr. Spools is very sorry, sir. He says it may be some kind of induced magic. You know, sir, like even a picture of a wizard's tower might be a bit magical itself. There's a few faults on some of the others, too. The printing went wrong on some of the black penny ones, and Lord Vetinari's got grey hair, sir. Some haven't got gum on, but they're all right because some people have asked for them that way."
"Why?"
"They say they're as good as real pennies and a whole lot lighter, sir."
"Do you like stamps, Stanley?" said Moist kindly. He was feeling a lot better in a seat that didn't go up and down. Stanley's face lit up.
"Oh, yes, sir, really, sir. They're wonderful, sir. Amazing, sir."
Moist raised his eyebrows. "As good as that, eh?"
"It's like, well... it's like being there when they invented the first pin, sir."
Stanley's face glowed. "Really? The first pin, eh?" said Moist. "Outstanding. Well, in that case, Stanley, you are head of stamps, the whole department, which is, in fact, you. How do you like that? I imagine you already know more about them than anyone else."
"Oh, I do, sir. For example, on the very first run of the penny stamps, they used a different type of..."
"Good," said Moist hurriedly. "Well done. Can I keep this first sheet as a souvenir?"
"Of course, sir," said Stanley. "Head of stamps, sir, wow. Is there a hat?"
"If you like," said Moist generously, folding up the sheet of stamps and putting them in his inside pocket. "So much more convenient than dollars. Wow, indeed."
"Or perhaps a shirt," he added. "You know, ask me about stamps." "Good idea, sir. Can I go and tell Mr. Groat, sir? He'd be so proud of me."
"Off you go, Stanley," said Moist. "But come back in 10 minutes, will you? I'll have a letter for you to deliver, personally." Stanley ran off. Moist opened the wooden box, which fanned out its trays obediently and flexed his fingers. It seemed that anyone who was, well, anyone in the city, had their paper printed by Teamer and Spools. Moist thumbed through his recently acquired paper samples and spotted the Grand Trunk Company, as fast as light, from the office of the chairman. It was tempting, very tempting. They were rich, very rich. Even with the current trouble, they were still very big. And Moist had never met a head waiter who hated money. He found a copy of yesterday's Times. There'd been a picture, yes, here. There was a picture of Reacher Gilt, chairman of the Grand Trunk, at some function. He looked like a better class of pirate, a buccaneer maybe, but one who took the time to polish his plank. That flowing black hair, that beard, that eye patch and, oh, gods, that cockatoo, that was a look, wasn't it? Moist hadn't paid much attention to the Grand Trunk Company. It was too big, and from what he'd heard, it practically employed its own army. Things could be tough in the mountains, where you were often a long way from anything that resembled a watchman. It wasn't a good idea to steal things from people who did their own law enforcement. They tended to be very definite. But what he was intending wouldn't be stealing. It might not even be breaking the law. Fooling a maitre d' was practically a public service.